If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Tuned into New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard only through blog ConservativeNationRadio.org and on Blog Talk Radio. For this episode of Lie Busting and Truth Telling, brought to you through the new media that has sprung up to let you know what Obama and the left and even some on the right are doing wrong to this great nation. And now, with no further ado, here is your host, the infidel, Robert.
It seems the Democrats have gotten into the mode for making sure that we consistently have something to talk about on shows like this one. The latest seems to be gun control, or at least it did earlier this week. But this time it came with a little bit of a twist. Kansas Governor Sam Brownback has signed into law a new bill titled the Second Amendment Protection Act. And yes, you heard that right, the Second Amendment Protection Act, and it goes farther than any law so far has. This is great and has even gotten the attention of Washington, as Attorney General Eric Holder has sent a threatening letter to Brownback saying the law is unconstitutional. And who should know better, I would guess, somebody who everything he's doing is unconstitutional. So I just kind of sat back and I thought, oh, really, Mr. Holder? Seems you picked a fight with someone who will fight back this time, though. Brownback's response? Bring it on. I can't wait to see you in court. Good afternoon and welcome to the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through the Conservative Nation Radio Network at conservativenationradio.org. On this, the 15th day of June, God, this year is going by so fast, makes you kind of wish you were younger. So time would go a little slower again, huh? The number to call in and talk on the show is 718-305-7176. Call in and join the discussion today. And now, on
my pappy
the
said,
show.
Son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
It seems that the Obama administration loves to go after the states that work to push constitutional law. Arizona was sued by Obama for wanting to extend the federal immigration law that the feds were no longer enforcing and making a law to make the federal law stronger. They weren't replacing the federal law. Now, this is where Obama got it completely wrong, as he usually does. But he sued Arizona because he said that there is no way that a state can replace, you know, put in a law to replace a federal law. Well, the problem was the federal law was not being enforced, so Arizona made a new law to make the federal law stronger, by giving Arizona the ability to enforce it. Obama sued them. That should have been a red flag as to how Obama wants nothing good for this for America, but it didn't, and we later reelected him. Now Kansas Governor Sam Brownback is warned by Eric Holder on being unconstitutional for his new law made to protect the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. And good afternoon, everyone who is coming in. And, you know, all I can say on this whole thing is, oh, come on now. I do not think that Eric Holder knows what the Constitution says, because if he writes a letter of warning to Governor Brownback telling him that he is being unconstitutional for passing a law which is there to protect the Second Amendment of the Constitution, and he says that's unconstitutional, to me that just screams out that Eric Holder knows nothing about what the Constitution holds. I mean, he proves it daily that he doesn't know what the Constitution says, and so does Obama and the rest of them sitting high on their perches in Washington, D.C. The one thing that makes me madder than a wet hen nowadays is when someone comes out in the media and says that conservatives are doing nothing but destroying this nation because we are too obsessed with scandals. Hello? Weren't you acting the same way when Bush was in office, searching for scandals even though there were none to speak of? Maybe it's just sour grapes that you guys are feeling because you didn't have an easy time finding a scandal against Bush, whereas now all we have to do is just sit there and wait for them to come. And there's practically a new one every day. The difference is Obama is daily causing scandal. Bush, though, not a great president, and who did his share of things that were not right, was not. He at least tried to follow the Constitution. That little blurb in there was put there for the purpose of you Obama bots out there, who, so that you wouldn't come at me and say that I thought Bush was the best. He was not. But on that note, he was one hell of a lot better than Obama is, and he didn't actively try to destroy America and her founding documents. And another one out there came out this week was a poll that now has made it sure in public that Bush is much more popular than Obama. How the worm turns. My idea of Obama is that he is the same as Clinton was. Remember after 9/11 when Clinton bemoaned that he was sad because the attack on 9/11 didn't happen during his watch? The passage of time will finally tell the truth on Obama, Bush, and Clinton, but sadly that only happens after the subject matter is dead and gone, as it has in former administrations that have long since gone. I did my best to find an audio clip of President Clinton saying that, but I couldn't. But just know that when it happened back when Bush was president, that was when the conservative movement started to run with things. With the things the Democrats were saying. And that since has snowballed into an avalanche of things that are going on now, that conservative, traditional American right has finally found their voice, and the left isn't sure how to handle it, except to continue saying and doing things that cause yet another scandal. History will tell all of the Obama administration and of the media that has sprung up to tell the stories that the mainstream media will not. And because of this new media, audio clips like the one I tried to find and couldn't find will be preserved better to be used later when the people begin to forget again, because they always will. On the scandal about the IRS, remember last week I mentioned that the media was going against their grain and going after the president for what was going on? If you do, then you'll also remember that I said it wouldn't be long before the mainstream media got back to business and fell back into bed with Obama because they love him. Well, that has happened. And it didn't even take a week, actually. In the article from Media Research Center titled, "Too Taxing, the Big Three Networks Abandon IRS Scandal," all I can say is, who knew? Well, I did. And the article goes on this whole thing, and it's amazing that what we are finding here is that the media will always fall back on what they feel in the first place. But the article written by Jeffrey Dickens on the 13th said, when news broke that IRS agents were abusively targeting conservative groups, particularly the Tea Party, it looked as if this was an Obama administration scandal that would stick. And we, of course, us here on the right knew it wouldn't. We knew that it would go away, and it did. But even reporters like NBC's Andrea Mitchell counted it as among the, quote, most outrageous excesses I've seen, unquote. That one I missed, but thanks to the MRC, I found it. And it's kind of funny because here we have somebody who Rush makes fun of because she is so in bed with Obama that she can't say anything against him. And here she goes and says that this IRS scandal is among the most outrageous excesses she's ever seen. Kind of makes you wonder. And Obama sycophant Chris Matthews predicted it would be worth, quote, 5 or 10 points for Republicans in the next midterm elections. Even the New York Times editorial board proclaimed the IRS audits are condemned. The big three, ABC, NBC, and CBS news networks, actually jumped to cover the story, filling their evening and morning shows with a total of 96 stories in the first 2 weeks from May 10th through May 23rd of coverage. But after those two strong weeks, the broadcast networks lost interest in the scandal, and the coverage slowed to a crawl, just 31 stories in the subsequent weeks of May 24th through June 12th. This week, the networks have only run one story, and that was on June 11th on ABC's Good Morning America when they talked about the IRS scandal. Can you people imagine that during, if this would have happened during the Bush administration, during the time that Bush was in office, we would have had this whole thing going on from the very moment that it broke until it totally destroyed Bush. And that's just the way it would have been. Don't let big media, liberal media, fool you or anyone else. There's no war on women in the conservative movement. And we've got the proof right here every Tuesday night. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing comes to you at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, here on conservativenationradio.org. Listen up and then call in and be heard by real women who are real patriots. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. That we are doing this whole story on what the media did during the IRS scandal thing. And they had analysts from MRC review each of the morning and evening broadcasts on ABC, CBS, and NBC from May 10th through June 12th. And they analyzed ABC's World News and Good Morning America, CBS's Evening News and This Morning, and NBC's Nightly News and the Today Show, and found 127 full stories or interviews or anchor briefs that focused on the IRS scandal. Analysts determined that 76% of the IRS stories were aired within the first 2 weeks alone, while only 24% of the stories arrived in the latter period, which is a huge drop-off. And I looked at this and just, that's when it hit me that, you know, if this whole thing would have been Bush, there would have been no stopping it, because they would have, their agenda would have been to destroy the Republican in office. And that's just the way they work. We cannot go and think any other way. If you follow what's going on, you will see it every time.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Hi everyone, this is Reba McEntire for RAD. You know, I see a lot of funny things traveling all over this beautiful country of ours, but one thing that's not very funny is when someone gets in a car trying to drive when they're drunk. Take their keys away from them, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You know, back on this story, it goes on and talks about how CBS ran the most stories at 49 on the IRS scandal. NBC had the second most stories at 44, and ABC finished last at 34. When the IRS scandal first broke, the big three anchors and reporters hopped on the story like something I can't say on the air. But NBC's Brian Williams opened the May 10th nightly news by saying, "Targeted by the IRS, a stunning admission and apology tonight, why the government is saying sorry to the Tea Party, and admitting mistakes were made," unquote. That same night on ABC's World News, Diane Sawyer called it a, quote, firestorm, unquote. And on the May 11th evening news, CBS's Anthony Mason proclaimed a huge scandal at the IRS. Now, the thing that I don't really ever remember was an outright apology to the Tea Party. They hemmed and hawed around it. They kind of touched on the subject once or twice, but they never just came right out and said, "Hey, we were wrong. You guys were right. We are so sorry. It'll never happen again." Of course, they wouldn't say that because we all know that it will happen again. And but, you know, after May 24th, though, the big three network anchors and reporters seemed ready to move on from the story, and then the release of the embarrassing IRS conference training videos featuring a Star Trek spoof and employees learning how to line dance, all on the taxpayer's dime, and congressional testimony from conservatives bullied by the IRS failed to reignite the furious pace of stories from the first 2 weeks of the scandal. And the main reason for this is because Obama was the one who was in office, not Bush. Heck, if it would have been Bush, they'd have followed this until hell froze over and Bush was totally destroyed. It wouldn't have mattered if they'd gotten tired of it or not. The main deal in this whole thing would be to destroy Bush. Well, with Obama, the main thing is to preserve Obama. And if they have to lie about it, so what? We'll do that. And they do. They do it very well. But it says when the IRS scandal first broke in May, Even reliably liberal network reporters saw it as a real threat to Obama, and that's why this whole thing stopped. The fact that they have so quickly dropped it from the news agenda is just more evidence that the broadcast networks filter their so-called news through the partisan through a partisan lens. After all, does anyone doubt that if an identical scandal had erupted during the Bush years, the networks would have essentially walked away after just a couple of weeks of heavy coverage? And that's just, you know, and that's from MRC. And it's something that I have brought up almost since day one on this. Liberals will not follow through on something if it's going to hurt the man that they want in that office. And the man they want in that office will never be a Republican. And this whole thing about the Republican Party higher-ups doing everything they can to please and pacify the liberals to maybe get them to swing over to their side, yeah, never happened. And it's time that the our representatives in the higher echelons of Washington on the Republican side realize this. It ain't going to happen. In another article that I found, this one's great. It's from a site that I have heard of but had never gotten anything from. It's bizpacreview.com. And they started talking about Representative John Larson, Democrat from Connecticut. He is now crying foul. With 2014 fast approaching, and everyone will have to come under the blanket of Obamacare, including members of Congress now and their staff, one Democratic lawmaker is crying foul, claiming that it's, quote, not fair, unquote, and they should have to be subjected to it like the rest of us. This was Representative John Larson. Like I said, Democrat Connecticut is finding it impossible to keep staff members now because they're all leaving his office in droves to avoid Obamacare. Now, why they're leaving his office to avoid Obamacare is beyond me, because they leave his office, they're still going to be under it. They just most likely won't be able to afford it as well. So that to me is kind of the insane part of this story. But it goes on to say that he summed up his dilemma by saying, quote, this is simply not fair, unquote, according to Forbes. When the Affordable Care Act was being hammered out in Congress, often behind closed doors, by the way, most Americans saw it for what it was, inadequate coverage at grossly inflated prices. The main selling point Democrats came up with to convince their constituents that Obamacare would be a good pill to swallow was the last-minute inclusion of an amendment forcing Congress and staff to come under its provisions, which, if they're going to force the rest of us into this, that's only fair. And it worked. Obamacare passed, albeit by whisker-thin margins, and both the president and then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi were left grinning ear to ear like Cheshire cats because the bill passed. But now it is getting time to pay the piper. The mass exodus was first noted Thursday by Politico's Anna Palmer and Jake Sherman, who described it as a potential brain drain and observed the problem is far more acute in the House, where lawmakers and aides are generally younger and less wealthy. Wasn't that another of the Affordable Care Act's selling points, that every person, regardless of income, would have good health coverage at affordable prices? Well, surprise, it can't be done, not this way. And conservative lawmakers, pundits, economists, and all the rest of us who consider ourselves traditional Americans have been preaching this for years since it was first proposed. Back to Larson, that Connecticut Democrat congressman. In case you're wondering, the answer is yes. He voted in favor of the Affordable Care Act. And BizPak Review ended this article in a very apropos way. They said, be careful of what you wish for or vote for. It may come back to bite you in the derriere. And we are just, this, it's things like this that make it fun to be on our side. Even though we know that this whole thing is going to lambaste us from one side to the other, we see them getting hit with it too, and they didn't think it was going to happen. They were sure it wasn't going to happen. And yet now they're finding out that it is going to happen. And I absolutely love this. This is such a fantastic thing to have happen to the people in Washington who have all but decided that they are way above us in intelligence and everything else. So they are the ones who get to tell us what we have to do for them. Well, it turns out that they're being included in this too, so it just does my little heart some good to see this happening. But we have to keep working on this, though, because if we don't, it's going to fall back and go right back to the way it used to be. And this whole thing is becoming something that is almost like a war. Because we have on the other side our enemy, who I wouldn't say are stupid, but they don't know how to act any other way. They think that all of their ideas and ideals, which a lot of them came from places like Karl Marx's manifesto and Stalin and the way he ran Russia, we have to keep ourselves out of what I consider the giggle weeds, because if we don't, people, we're going to get lost in them like the Democrats in Washington have. And we don't want our ideals backfiring on us, because that is the one thing that we have to stop and realize. When it comes to telling the truth, we're not as good at telling the truth as they are at lying. Because if we tell the truth and they push back on us, we give up and back down. Whereas if they tell a lie and we push on them, we still back down, because they won't. And that's just the way we have to look at this, because if we don't, we're going to lose every time. And this nation cannot afford us to lose every time anymore. And that's just the way that the cookie crumbles here. America is too great a country to be allowed to be led down the path to socialism and communism the way Obama and the rest of the Democrats in Washington are doing, and even some of the Republicans, And I add John McCain and Lindsey Graham in there with that because they're always falling in line, lock, stock, and barrel with the Democrats unless they get huge amounts of calls from their constituents telling them that they're wrong. Then they'll, for a few hours, will be perfectly fine and say just what they need to do to get their constituents off their backs. And then they go right back to what they were doing in the first place. And they'll fall right back in line with the Democrats. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member services, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
It seems that they are finally starting to get what we traditional Americans have been saying since the beginning of Obama and his health care plan. It has taken them long enough, though, hasn't it? But that is not all that is going on with our government. When it comes to a spying president and the NSA, along with the NSA department's new base of information storage unit, and I think it's Utah right now, that has like a quadrillion bytes of information to be stored there. And it's been brought up a lot and a few times the week before. And Biden has been strangely silent on all of this. But I found something from our dear Joe Biden. And this was dated May 12th, 2006, when he was a senator and he was talking about Bush here. And here is what Biden said.
The ACLU has filed a lawsuit in which they say
The crux of the government's justification for this program is the chilling logic that it can collect everyone's data now and ask questions later. The Constitution does not permit the suspicionless surveillance of every person in the country. Quickly, here is what then-Senator Biden said about all of this and this program in 2006.
I don't have to listen to your phone calls to know what you're doing. If I know every single phone call you made, I'm able to determine every single person you talk to. I can get a pattern about your life that is very, very intrusive. And the real question here is, what do they do with this information that they collect that does not have anything to do with Al-Qaeda? And we're going to trust the president and the vice president of the United States that they're doing the right thing. Don't count me in on that.
ACLU has filed a lawsuit.
Don't count me in on that. That was Joe Biden in 2006. Now he is absolutely stunningly silent on pretty much the same thing that he was talking about Bush doing. Only this time it's Obama. That, my friends, was Joe Biden, and he is our vice president under the president that has more scandals going now than more and more lies going than most all the presidents before him. But now Biden is silent on that, and with that silence is going along with what he was completely against when the president was Bush. All I can say is imagine that. Maybe he's just too afraid to open his mouth anymore because of the number of gaffes that he has been laughed about and how people are constantly laughing at him because of things that he's saying that turn out to be not true or turn out to be something that he's speaking about something that he doesn't even know about. Maybe it's finally getting to him that he'd better keep his mouth shut because every time he opens his mouth, he hurts Obama. Now, I'm hoping that's not what the story is here. I'm hoping that he's just being silent because maybe he's got some kind of throat infection and he can't speak very well right at the moment or something like that. I hope he's not getting a conscience about the things that he says that hurt Obama. I kind of like it when he speaks up. I kind of like it when he says things. I like it when he brings up things that all of a sudden seem to hurt the people around him that he's not intending to hurt in the first place. Or when he says something stupid, like he talked about the best thing to do when you get a home invasion, if somebody knocks on your door, is to take your shotgun and blast through the door. Well, that was one of those things that came out of him that just kind of made me sit back and try to imagine that somebody this dumb was being paid that much of our money to be in the position he's in so he can tell us to do something that's completely illegal and would get us in trouble anyway. I guess maybe he is learning to keep his mouth shut, or maybe Obama has threatened him. These are things that we can always hope isn't happening, but every day it seems like we have ourselves another scandal. From Breitbart.com this week, I found an article that said the title of it was false. Obama claims immigration bill requires illegals to learn English. Well, it's another one of his statements that is turning out to be untrue. In his weekly address, President Barack Obama claimed the Senate Gang of Eight immigration bill would require illegal immigrants to learn English to earn their citizenship. Quote, this bill would provide a pathway to earned citizenship for the 11 million individuals who are already in this country illegally, a pathway that includes passing a background check, learning English, paying taxes, and a penalty, and then going to the back of the line behind everyone who's playing by the rules and trying to come here legally. Well, there are several things in this quote that just bug the heck out of me. One is they've been saying that there are 11 million individuals in this country illegally for the last how many years now? And we know they're coming in every day. So if we've got 11 million now and we had 11 million back 4 or 5 years ago, where are all these ones that are coming in every day going? Because they're apparently not being counted by the government and they're not being included in the bunches and bunches and bunches of people who are already here illegally. The thing that they are not getting is most of these people come over here not to become citizens of the United States. They don't want that. They just want to come over here so they can make enough money so they can go back to Mexico and live for a couple of months on what they made. They don't want citizenship. And that's where the Republicans are being completely stupid in the things that they're doing, because they are trying, they are falling for this bunch of bull. And we all know that they're not coming over here to become Americans. That's just the whole gist of the whole matter right there. They are not coming here to become Americans. They don't want to be Americans. They're not coming here to be Americans. They're not doing anything of the sort. And that's just the way it is. Our friendly local Republican spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon. And rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? Get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger-flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. You know, the thing that we need to do when it comes to listening to shows that like this one and to shows like Radio Free America, like with Duke Brooks, is that we have to listen to these with an open mind, because if we don't, the things that we miss can be immense and really put us out of touch for everything. Because shows like these will tell you what the mainstream media will not. I know for the little bit of the news that I find, I work almost the whole week for. I start Saturday night after my show. So after my show tonight, I'm going to work and start picking these things up. Because I know if I wait until the end of the week, everything that happens from now until Wednesday will disappear in the news, and I will be hard-pressed to find them. So I pick them up when I can, as I see them. And that's the thing that we have to realize, is that when it comes to shows like this, we see this stuff. We report this stuff. The news and the mainstream media do not. They see it. but 9 times out of 10, they will not report it. Most of the stuff that I get comes from places like Breitbart.com or the Daily Caller or Minuteman News or Political Pistachio, a blog out of Southern California, with a friend of mine who also has a radio show out there and does videos and things like that. We cannot get our news from the mainstream media because 9 times out of 10, they will not report this stuff. And it's something that we have to realize, because if we don't, we are in trouble, people.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Okay, back to the article that I was reading on where Obama claims the immigration bill requires illegals to learn English. As Breitbart News has previously reported on big government, Norquist pro-immigration groups poll lays spin on thick to create desired pro-Schumer Rubio bill result, was the name of the article. When illegal immigrants apply for registered provisional immigrant status under the provisions of the bill, the first step in legislation, they do not need to demonstrate that they can speak English. When they apply for renewal of their RPI status, they still do not need to prove they can speak English. Only when illegal immigrants apply for their legal permanent resident status or green card, which, like I said before, is not something that most of them want to do because they don't want to be a citizen. And that's, we've got to realize this. But it's only then that they be required to demonstrate their ability to speak English or to prove that they are currently enrolled in a course to achieve an understanding of English and knowledge of understanding of civics. The requirement that immigrants must learn English is not new to this legislation, according to what it says here. But what we have to think about here is that they do not want to become citizens. That's not why they're here in the first place. They know they can come across the border illegally. They know that most of the time they can get in here, get a job, do the work that they wanted to do so they could make enough money to live on for a month or two in Mexico. Then they want to go back home to their families, and home to them is Mexico, not America. And this is something that is easy to know if you just look at what's going on. But the Democrats and some of the Republicans like McCain, and this one surprises me because McCain is down there. He sees it every day. He knows what goes on down on that border. He knows why they come across. Yet he won't say anything about it. He goes right on the opposite side and, oh, they've got to be made legal. And his reasoning for it is really stupid because we make all these people legal. They're going to be eligible for all kinds of things that will make sure that they are people who vote for Democrats, not Republicans. And why the Republicans can't see this just drives me insane 90% of the time, because they have all been told that this is something that this is the way it is. They know this is the way it is. They know that it has to be done the way that it's being done for everything to work. And even some of the people that are going up on this thing, we had Republicans this week that voted for this that just actually kind of blew me away. Paul Ryan voted for this immigration reform bill. Marco Rubio did. Dan Coats, my senator here in Indiana, voted for this. I couldn't understand this. Why would they do this? This is dumb. This is stupid. I am still at a loss. But what we've got to realize here is that a lot of the Republicans and the people who are pushing for a Republican majority are all saying that we have to elect conservative Republicans. And right at the moment, that is pretty much not possible to do in every aspect. I say we have to get whoever we can get in there who has an R behind their name. They might be a rhino, but if enough pressure is put on them, they can be controlled. Whereas a Democrat cannot be. If you remember back when Obama won his first election and it was already over, McCain went to him and said, I'm glad that's over. Now we can work together and fix what's wrong. Obama says, no, John, I won, you lost. We're doing it my way. That's the way the Democrats work. And we have to start realizing this, folks, or we're always going to be a minority party. Doing what we are, what a lot of people and on the right are doing this week, saying that we have to elect conservatives into office, is doing nothing but assuring that the Democrats will always stay in control of the government. Because we have to realize that a rhino Republican is still a Republican. And unless he's really horribly bad, he can be controlled. by the population getting involved and letting them know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, that we have to have a certain thing. Democrats will just look at you and laugh. There is where we have to start looking at what's going on. We have to elect a Republican majority. It would be really nice if the whole Republican majority were conservatives and traditional Americans and people who would do what we want them to do. But if we don't start realizing this, we're never going to win in the halls of Congress, because there's always going to be the Democrats there who will make us sound like idiots, when the fact of the matter is they are the idiots, not us. They are the ones who want to destroy this nation, not us. They are the ones that we have to start pushing the fact that, hey, it's been the Democrats who have been in charge in this government for the past 4 years, not the Republicans. And that is the one point right there that really drives me nuts. Why aren't we bringing that one up? We let the Democrats push us around, push us into the walls, push us into the fire, because we don't want to fight and make it look like we are as bad as they are. But where is telling the truth a bad thing? Apparently, it's only when the Republicans decide to do it. And we have to stop doing this, people, because if we don't, like I said, we're going to be a minority from now until the end of time. And I know that's not what any of us want. And I know the American people are waking up and figuring this out. It's just the Democrats and the Republicans in office who are not seeing it. Right now, we have a lot of conservatives and traditional American type conservative politicians out there who are working for us. I have one myself, Todd Rokita. He got involved because of the Tea Party. He is involved in it, and I get a weekly newsletter from him telling me what he's doing in office, what he's not doing, what he's trying to do. And then I hear from John McCain that he's running across the aisle to make buddy-buddy with Chuck Schumer and other people on the other side. That's not what we need. That is what is destroying our conservatism and our freedoms and our America. Traditional Americans have to realize this. Conservative Americans have to realize this. We have to fight this as a war. And if we don't learn how to fight, we're always going to lose. And it's something that we have to do. There is just absolutely no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you want to call into the show, the number is 718-305-7176. You're listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and this is your host, Robert the Infidel Garding, behind the silver CNR microphone of freedom, as we do our best to bring the truth to the masses, because our media sure as heck isn't doing it, even though for a short time this last week they did, which I think surprised most of us. But it's like I said last week on the show, they're falling back in line. It doesn't take much to realize that. The scandals that we have with the IRS, it was up to the media, nobody would ever talk about them anymore. And it's really sad that we are allowing that to happen. And it's, I don't know. This is really frustrating for me because I talk about it, I see it. I was raised a certain way, so I see what is going on. I watched what is going on.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought...
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
I started this show a bunch of years ago trying to figure out what the government was trying to do, what they were doing, and it just really blew me away, the things that they were getting away with. And I still have troubles understanding what is happening, what is going on. With the exception of maybe it being something that is more out of greed and desire to have everything that you can have at somebody else's expense.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places. The places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Hour 2. I kind of got myself going in a different direction there. Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. Again, you have your humble host, Robert the Infidel, with this hour of the show. brought to you through conservativenationradio.org, heard here on Blog Talk Radio. If you wish to call in and join on the discussion today, the number is 718-305-7176.
In the state of Virginia today, the state Republican Party is now officially in possession of its slate of candidates who will run in Virginia's statewide elections this fall. Those candidates were chosen at a party convention over the weekend, not a primary, but a convention. They include the Republican Party's candidates for governor and lieutenant governor and attorney general. Again, this was not a primary. This was a party convention that picked the candidates. So there was no statewide voting here. It was just the Republican loyalists who showed up. And those Republican loyalists who showed up for the convention picked candidates for this statewide election who are very, 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 very conservative. A very conservative Tea Party-style slate of candidates. Barring further breaking news developments tomorrow, we will have more on that important political story on tomorrow night's show. But suffice to say, I didn't use enough varies in describing them.
I had to actually fight and stifle myself from not laughing here as I listened to this liberal who we all know is Rachel Maddow, who broadcasts on MSNBC and talks like she has an audience that is huge. Happily for us, she doesn't. Sadly for her, she doesn't. Rachel Maddow is one of these people who could find the truth in the news and then stop, decide if it's good for her side or not, and then if not, lie about it. And she is like all the others. If it doesn't fit the agenda of the left, then they lie about it. And most of them are really great liars. And that's the other part of this whole thing about the Republicans trying to kowtow to them. We have to realize this, folks, they are liars. They lie to us about anything and everything that they can. And if we allow them to get away with this, they're going to do it. And we have allowed them to get away with this for, God, I don't know how many years now. And they are at the point now where they'll come off and just, in a audio clip like the one I just played you, if you listen to it, it's really ridiculous. But she is so very serious on this that she can't say enough varies. She said very 8 times there, and it still wasn't enough varies. And it doesn't matter what the Republicans do. They could nominate a Hispanic or a black for an office, and it doesn't matter. It's not a great thing. The only time it's a great thing is when the left does it. And we have illegals streaming into this country like it's going out of style, yet no one seems to be adding them to the list of what's going on in this country. It's been staying, like I said before, at 11 million for how many years now? And Benghazi? This was something that should be a national shame. To have our president cover as hard as he did on what happened there and then just totally disappear from every place. Nobody could find him for something like 8 hours after that happened. Nixon was impeached for less than that. At least when Nixon lied, nobody died over it. And they're still going on their merry little way, doing what they can to push their agenda, making sure that none of this bad stuff gets out and they filter it all down. And then we get idiots like Rachel Maddow talking about how if you're very, very conservative, it's a very, 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 very bad thing. No, it's not. As a matter of fact, the conservatives right now seem to be the only ones in this nation who really give a damn about what where this nation is going and how this nation's future is going to be. And it drives me nuts that we allow the conversation to be led in the direction we allow it to be led in. There are so many things that have happened over the past year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, even going back into the time of Bush and farther back than that, that have just been allowed to happen because the Republicans have been too afraid to speak up and say what is going on. And my only question on this is, when are we going to stop doing stupid stuff like that? This week, Ann Coulter came out with a thing talking with an article about how stupid the Republican Party is acting. That if they're this stupid, they deserve to die. And, you know, I see little comments here and there saying the Democrats and the Republicans are pretty much the same thing. And for the most part, yeah, I can agree. They are pretty much the same thing. But the Republicans at least are trying to do the right thing right at the moment, although not all of them are. You have to look really hard and really deep to find a Democrat who cares about the Constitution and about what it says. You don't have to look that hard to find a Republican who does. But the problems that we are having is that, you know, like I said, most of the people in the media and on the left are liars. A lot of them on the right are too. Which is sad because they're supposed to be in the media, you know, when I'm talking about the media here, which is supposed to find stories of news and tell the truth about them. But that doesn't happen much anymore, especially today, because the truth hurts the left much more than it helps them. And this cannot be tolerated in the media, so it just doesn't happen. I think that one of the job requirements that they have to abide by now in the mainstream media is, can you lie easily? And if you say yes, then you can be a reporter or a news person or somebody like Rachel Maddow who can have your own little show where you can tell the world just how stupid you are. It's one of those things, people, and we have to stop letting that happen. The leftist media would like us, like conservatives like us, to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberal ones. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, and that's one word, Traditional American Movement. Or TradAM, as we call our home. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is a place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution. All on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That's www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. TradAM is a liberal free website, and there's always some good conversation going on there that will stimulate your brains if you let it. In the Minuteman News this week came this one, the article entitled Bombshell. I lost my place. Document examiner tied to Obama defense attorney says birth certificate is 100% fraud. And I thought that I'd seen the last of this. stuff about Obama's birth certificate and things that are going on with that. But I guess not. Just one of those things, I suppose, where we have to watch what is going on. And thankfully, some of us do. It was in Minuteman News, and it said, Reed Hayes is a court-qualified handwriting and document examiner whose business is located in Honolulu, Hawaii. He has nearly 40 years of handwriting-related experience and has worked as an international consultant and speaker. Never heard of him? Well, Hayes is the Certified Document Examiner, or CDE, who produced the 40-page opinion referenced in the Mike Zullo affidavit that was submitted to the Alabama Supreme Court in the Obama eligibility case, and his report concluded that the Obama birth certificate image located on whitehouse.gov is a complete fabrication. And so, like I said, I thought that we had heard the last of this kind of thing, but it keeps coming. P.P. Simmons reports the rabid followers of the Obots have rushed to denounce Reed Hayes as a quack. However, one might be surprised to learn that one of Hayes' clients listed in the expert witness directory at his link is an attorney with Perkins Cole Law Firm. Perkins Cole is a law practice whose partners have provided Obama's personal defense against all birth certificate and natural-born citizen litigation over the past 5 years. Very interesting indeed. If it turns out that Sheriff Arpaio is successful in getting Congress to investigate the authenticity of Obama's birth certificate, the Perkins Cole legal team, who will be defending Obama, will be hard-pressed to simply dismiss Reed Hayes as a quack. This fact will be especially significant now that it is a revealed and proven truth that members of the Perkins Cole firm have used Hayes as an expert witness. Their own prior cases where Hayes was used as a witness would be severely compromised if they use Saul Alinsky-style mocking attacks on Hayes. This has been reported that Mr. Hayes has been hounded by Obama operatives to discover the details of his 40-page forensic analysis of the Obama birth certificate, the PDF of it, and he has been referring them to Sheriff Joe Arpaio and his cold case posse, who now legally own his report, for further information. I also found it interesting that someone sided with the Obama administration and attempted to bring up dirt on Hayes by pointing out that he was a homosexual with a partner who is now deceased. Isn't that interesting? Why would that be considered dirt from the Obama side? Aren't they the ones who want gay marriages and all that happy stuff to be part of the American law and judicial system? Isn't he the one telling us that is normal, and isn't he the one helping to push the homosexual agenda along? Ah, the hypocrisy. Mike Zullo responded to the revelation from Hayes and said, this ought to serve as a warning shot across the bow to the naysayers of our criminal investigation in the Obama fraud case. The impressive credentials of Mr. Hayes and the fact that he has testified in court cases for Perkins Cole, coupled with the fact that Mr. Hayes is a registered Democrat, demonstrates the integrity of our investigation and our conviction that we possess incontrovertible evidence to the back. Yeah, it's like I said, you know, every time you think something is over and done with, it's not. And I think that we are just absolutely having ourselves a blast here.
Are Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. Thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
If you want to call in again, you're listening to the New White Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert the Infidel Guarding with your commentary here. The number is 718-305-7176. And I've seen a few things in the chat room, and one of the things that was brought up was that July will be very explosive, and I really have this feeling that we actually have seen nothing yet. I think we're going to see more scandals. I think we're going to see more mayhem. And every time I see those commercials by Geico where that guy is goes through all of the things of causing mayhem, it reminds me of the Democrat Party, because it seems like that's exactly what they're doing to this nation. They don't want to help it in any way. They don't want to make America better in any way. And the sad part about that is there's Republicans in there who are exactly the same way. And we have to get rid of every one of them. But it's also, like I said before, we have to sit back and realize that we cannot get 100% conservative Republicans in there, people who are traditional Americans and want this country to be saved from what the direction that it's being led in. There will be more scandals. And we can be sure of the fact that with the coming scandals will be the media working their darndest to keep them from being damaging to the president that they love. And I don't know, maybe it's the fact that I have a more logical mind, but if I see something working to destroy something that I love, I would more rather fight that something that is trying to destroy what I love than to fall in line with it or reach across the aisle to help them along. And the sad part about Obama getting away with all of the things that he has done you know, when he first went into office, the first thing he said after he won was, we are days from fundamentally changing America. He kept his promise, people. And he even wrote in books what his plans are. Sins of My Father was one that comes to mind. And there are others out there. His allegiance and patronage to people like Bill Ayers, who helped to form the Obama that we have as president. Don't you think that if we would have been watching and keeping in mind what he was saying and doing and fooling around with all those years, that he would be president now? I don't think he would be. But the problem has always been that Americans have got a short memory for bad things to happen because we've got it so good in this country. So if something bad happens, we just mull it over for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden we start thinking, well, things aren't so bad here. It'll get better. The problem with that is that, like when the New Deal came out, and this is going back some years now, with the depression that the United States went through in the 30s, if the government would have stayed out of that, we'd have come out of that much sooner. Yet for years and years and years, the government was given credit for pulling us out of that. They didn't. They kept us in it much longer than we would have been in it if the government would have just kept their hands out of it. And it's the same thing then as it is right now. If the government would just get their freaking hands out of our business and let the government, let the business, this country work the way it needs to, the economy would come back and probably already would have. But they can't see it that way. They think in terms of big government. They have to be involved in everything that happens. Doesn't matter if it's bad. If they're involved in it, then they're involved. If they back out and let the economy take over and do what it needs to do, then we will figure out that America will start working. I got a phone call here, area code 319. You're on the show.
Thanks Hello? For taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
You know, the thing is we've had this progressive movement from the 1880s forward, and they have been dismantling the Constitution for all that time. And we've sat idly by, and we've bought into the song and dance about the government's going to take care of us. Well, they're taking care of us right now. They're tracking all of us like we are the enemy of the state, all 300 million of us. Hello?
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park, getting frisky in the dark? I gave you a poke, think the dog is in the bed, do I smell smoke? You and me, we never give up, you and me, never, ever, ever give up.
Give up on sex,
Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
There's a smile on the wind as it touches my face and starts to erase all the gloom. And the sun with a kiss begins to dismiss the memory of my life without you. Well, it seems like yesterday that my path took me away.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. Robert Garding, who is our host, an ace, by the way, a pro, is having some pretty serious, obviously, telephone-related problems there in Indiana. This is Duke Brooks, and I just thought I'd call in and see if we can keep this conversation going a little bit. We are hoping that he will get his telephone back and we'll be able to get back on the air with us at some point very soon. But I do want to echo and reflect on a couple of things Robert said. First off, obviously I agree with him that the media in this country is almost monolithically left-wing. I mean, there's anybody who doubts that has got to be even further to the left than most network anchors and reporters are. And denying it, really, it is just it is silly. There's no reason why anybody should deny the unmistakable fact that the vast majority of people that work in media and work in broadcasting as reporters, editors, correspondents, producers, writers, just people in that business in general are way left of center. Now, yesterday I had a wonderful day with my friend Kevin Wade. If you follow senatorial politics particularly closely, you'll certainly remember that last November, Kevin Wade, ran for the U.S. Senate in Delaware against Tom Carper, the incumbent Democrat senator. And Senator Carper is a nice guy. I mean, we all got to know him fairly well out on the campaign trail. But he is a big government liberal. I mean, he's not a jerk or anything. He is a nice guy. And we all got along, no problem. We just think that he has been there for too long. There are many people in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives that have been there for way too long. There are some Republicans that have been there for way too long. But I had the opportunity yesterday to go to Washington with Kevin Wade for the Faith and Freedom Coalition conference. It took place at the Marriott right downtown at Pennsylvania Avenue and 13th Street, right across from the Reagan Office Building Complex, the Reagan World Trade Center building at Freedom Plaza. That's ironic, isn't it? I mean, you know, now we have a government who came in saying that we are going to be the most transparent presidency in history, and he is obviously one of the worst. Freedom is definitely not something that he thinks is a good thing. This ought to be obvious by now. You know, if I'm wrong, if you think I'm wrong, that's fine. I don't want to argue with you or anything, but I would like to hear why you think so. The number here at the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show on conservativenationradio.org is 718-305-7176. Robert Garding is our host. He is having some technical problems there at his home in Indiana involving his phone, but apparently his internet is still working. Robert might want to try Skype or something, so I just thought I would call in and try to sort of pick up the ball for him. 718-305-7176 is the number. If you think that this administration really is committed to transparency and really is committed to being the most open administration in history, please call me and explain to me why. I'm not going to jump down your throat or anything. Not going to call you names. The liberals call conservative names. Conservatives don't call liberals names other than liberal. That's enough of a name. You know, I mean, I'm not going to start railing at some, oh, you're a retro midget, reprobate you. Not going to do anything like that, although there are quite a few of those out there amongst the liberals as well. I'll be honest, I went to two of the most incredibly left-wing schools in this country, Penn Charter in Philadelphia, which has been there since 1689, and the Newhouse School of Public Communication at Syracuse University. And those are two very liberal establishments. There is no question about it. And they were not able to brainwash me into being liberal. They just were not.
Is my mic open, sir?
Sir, I hear you on the air.
Okay. I do have a question. I believe that Obama has kept his word, that he has been the most transparent, because I think we all see through all of the schemes and shenanigans that he's pulled, it's very apparent to anybody paying attention that he is trying to move us more towards socialism. And in that regard, I believe he's transparent.
Okay. I agree with you. Now, I think that when he said back in 2008 when he was campaigning that he was going to run the most transparent administration in history, I think he was trying to convince the American people that everything the White House did would be out there in the public and for all the world to see. And quite obviously, now I get your point, and I'm definitely not disagreeing with you. As far as I'm concerned, he is transparent. He is transparently left-wing. He's transparently for things as well.
It's 1984. And if I remember that book correctly. It's been a long time since I read it, but I think they called that doublespeak.
Yeah, that's exactly right, along with such phrases as war is peace, truth is lies, freedom is slavery, all that kind of stuff. And
sure,
there are some addle-minded people out there, there are some simpletons out there that cannot think things through, and they don't have any real serious logical base in their own minds upon which to draw and against which they can make comparisons of what is going on now versus what is the reality versus what I'm actually being told. And, you know, an administration like the Obama administration counts on those people. They are depending on the low information and low involvement voter to be able to reelect them. They're also counting on something else to get them reelected. They're counting on using the IRS to suppress fundraising efforts of organizations that would have been helpful to getting Governor Romney elected. That is one of the worst scandals in American history. The media simply doesn't want to acknowledge it. You know, they just don't want to acknowledge it. By the way, sir, what is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Richard Gates. I'm calling from Keokuk, Iowa. I've ran for public office twice, and I have been very involved in the grassroots movement for the last 5 years.
Mr. Gates, I don't know very much about Iowa.
Neither do most people in Iowa.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, I have heard of Keokuk. Obviously, most people know Des Moines. Iowa is, its nickname is what? I should know this, but I don't. I feel really ignorant. What is the nickname of Iowa?
Let's see. I think it's the Hawkeye State.
The Hawkeye State, that's right, yes. I was thinking Cornhusker, but that's Nebraska. But now, have you always been in Iowa? Were you born and raised there?
I was born here. I was not raised here.
Okay.
I moved back because of family. I spent 10 years in the military.
What was your job, and in what branch did you serve our country?
I served in the Air Force as a medical administration specialist, basically a medical clerk, and worked with aeromedical evacuations. And I served 6 years in the Army, working in unit-level supply and logistics, and ran the arms room for my company.
Thank you for protecting my country, sir. I appreciate it. Now, did you ever pass through or perhaps stationed at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware?
No, I didn't. I was stationed at Eglin Air Force Base during the Iran hostage disaster under Carter. You may remember that the helicopters we lost, and the men that were aboard those helicopters came from Eglin Air Force Base.
Which is in Pensacola, Florida, correct?
Fort Walton Beach, actually, but it's real close to Pensacola, yeah.
And those were the CH-53D Stallion helicopter, correct? The Sea Stallion?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, the Jolly Green Giant, I think they called it. Three engines. If I recall, that was Operation Eagle Claw, right?
I think you're right.
And
a long time ago. I got two brain cells working, so.
Yeah, exactly. And from what I remember reading about this, it was a very complicated mission that involved landing the helicopters and the C-130s at a place in southern Iran called Dasht-e-Kavir, which we refer to as Desert One. And I think their plan was to fly a couple of the helicopters up to Tehran, get out of the helicopters in specially armed jeeps, essentially, drive like hell at 3 in the morning through the streets of Tehran and get into the American embassy, take out all of the the so-called student radicals there, And then they were going to get all of our people into these vehicles, drive them several blocks to a clearing where the helicopters would then land and then fly back to Desert One, get refueled, destroy the helicopters, get everybody into the C-130s, and then fly out. I think that was the plan. But one of the things that went wrong is that the pilots of the helicopters took their flak vests and they folded them up and they placed them in the chin bubbles of the helicopter, because that was a clear piece of plexiglass, and in case somebody is shooting at you, it could come right through there. That's just forward of the tail rotor pedals. And putting the flak vest in that location caused the cooling fans to fail. And the cooling fans were there to keep the avionics, the electronic systems used to navigate, keep those cool. So the cooling fans didn't work. It didn't keep the navigation equipment cool. The navigation equipment began to fail. And that's one of the reasons that the mission ended the way that it did. And it just, you know, it just kind of, it made me sick. I couldn't believe it. I was about to turn 25 at the time that that happened. And however, at the end of the day, it's one of the reasons why we got rid of Jimmy Carter and we brought in Ronald Reagan. So, you know, maybe something good did come of it, but you mentioned, Mr. Gates, that you ran for office in Iowa. What position were you running for?
The first time I ran for a state representative, and I only ran for about 90 days.
Yeah.
And I ran with $500 in funds. I got 46% of the vote.
Hey, if you'd started 30 days earlier, you might have won.
Probably. It probably didn't help that we had a union lockout about 3 weeks before the election.
No, unions do not help anything. They,
yeah.
You know, they don't help anything.
And then, the second time I ran for U.S. Congress for the House of Representatives, District 2 in Iowa. Again, I was severely underfunded. I got in because I just couldn't stand that nobody else had stepped forward. And my agenda on that campaign was twofold. I'm a machinist by trade. I can't afford to just quit work to campaign full time. And I knew that. But I did know that it gave me an opportunity to go around the district and to speak in public about issues that I felt were very important to not just people in this district, but to our country. And I got that opportunity to do that.
You know, that really is the only motivator that anyone should have if they are running for public office. Sadly, you must have come across Chuck Grassley at some point in your travels during that campaign.
Actually, I had a one-on-one meeting with him, and I also host a conference call on Monday evenings, and the senator has been gracious enough to accept a monthly call that he will participate in.
How would you characterize Grassley?
I would say you've heard of born-again Christians. I would say he's born-again conservative. He started his career out as very conservative, and he bent towards the will of the people. But with the Tea Party movement, this man has come right back on board, and he's a very strong conservative. And I've talked to him many, many times now.
What was the name of the congressman? I am almost certain he's from Iowa. I can kind of see him. He was the congressman, a Democrat, that went to the floor of the U.S. House and began the investigation into Whitewater when Clinton was president. Now he is in charge of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, I sure don't.
Okay. Well, he's...
That would be good. I would love to know that, though.
Yeah, and I never forget seeing these people on television. If I see somebody on TV once, I never forget them. And I've always kind of paid attention to politics. The country is being taken in the wrong direction. Iowa is a huge state, especially compared to some of the states on the East Coast. I live in Delaware, which is the second smallest state in the union. But the agricultural output of Iowa is staggering, isn't it?
Yes.
What is the primary crop there?
It's soybeans and corn. Corn is the main thing. Anywhere you go in Iowa, you're going to see a cornfield.
Okay. All right. Well, there is nothing wrong with that. I think I read somewhere that South Dakota, Iowa, Nebraska, Indiana, and parts of Minnesota or Michigan, Wisconsin, could literally feed the entire Western Hemisphere all by themselves if there was no agriculture in any other place anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. Just Iowa could take care of all of South America by itself, because American agricultural production is the best and the strongest and the greatest in the history of the world. So what are your future plans? I mean, do you plan to run again? Maybe the third time is the charm.
It's a possibility. Right now, my wife is very ill, and so my primary concern right now is with family.
I'm sorry to hear that. I hope that she gets better. And obviously, family has to come first. That's number one, especially for Republicans. It is for Republicans. It is not necessarily for Democrats. They are so focused on politics. Their families, their children don't matter as long as Obama, survives, and as long as Hillary is reelected, is elected. I mean, it's just absurd. But let me ask you this. What do you see going on in the country right now that has you the most bothered?
Our Constitution is being trampled. I mean,
agreed.
The TSA, that's always bothered me since its formation. Homeland Security, it needs to be abolished. They are trampling over our first five amendments. There's just no end to it in sight. And all of this has come out in the last few weeks with the government surveillance of our phone lines and our emails and all of that. Many of us have known this for quite a while, and it's just now getting out into the public view, and we've got to press those issues out into the mainstream media, and we've got to make sure that these people are held accountable and that people go to prison for violating the law of the land.
Well,
it's very strongly about that.
Yes, I agree with you, and so do I. And it's obvious that the United States government, at one time or another, and to one extent or another, has violated every single one of the first 10 amendments of the U.S. Constitution. Every single one of them has been violated by the U.S. government at one time or another. Right now, they're in the process of violating the Fourth Amendment. They have violated the Fifth Amendment. They have violated the Sixth. They have violated, they are in constant violation of the Ninth and the Tenth Amendments. And it is just utterly and completely bizarre. And, I just wonder when the people of the United States are going to look at our own Constitution and they're going to say, hey, wait a minute. Of course, the other thing is that, if you have a group of people that is focused on studying the Constitution or wants to educate others about the Constitution, the IRS might come in and squash you, because the word Constitution was one of the be-on-the-lookout terms that the IRS was watching people for, including Patriots and 9/12 and Tea Party and things of that nature. So we've got some very serious problems here. What do you think we should do about it?
Oh, first thing, I say screw the 501. You know, just form an LLC where you're protected from liability. It only costs about $100 or so if you go to someplace like LegalZoom.com and file the paperwork you need. And then, okay, you pay your taxes, but the IRS is not an issue anymore. You get them out of the picture. The other thing is you call Ted Cruz, and you can Google this. Ted Cruz is doing a petition right now to abolish the IRS. I would urge every American to sign that petition.
I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor. And we should replace the IRS with either a flat tax, everybody pays 10%, period, that's it, or the fair tax. Are you familiar with the fair tax?
I actually was the Iowa director for the fair tax for a period of time before I started running for office.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And what is your, I mean, you know, there are some things in the fair tax that are complicated, but I think it would be a very, very good thing if it works exactly the way that Bortz and Lindner in their book describe it. What do you think?
I have a copy of that piece of legislation that's been before committee already,
yeah,
and it is ready to go to the floor. It's 137 pages, so it's not that complicated.
Compared to Obamacare, it sounds like it isn't. You're right.
And it's managed at the state level. The states collect the taxes, and they are compensated for that labor and all the expenses involved in it. And right now we pay 22% embedded taxes on everything when we buy, everything that every service, every product, 22% embedded taxes. Now, think about that. If you take your take-home pay and it buys that much more product and service, how much would you save? And then you determine how much tax you pay by the amount that you purchase. And is it it's a progressive tax, because obviously the more money you have, the more money you spend, so you're going to pay more taxes. There's no loopholes, no exemptions, and in within that bill, it mandates that the 16th Amendment is repealed within a period of time, or the fair tax is sunsetted.
Well, the complicating factor is what is, and we only have about a minute left, Mr. Gates. The
okay.
complicating factor is what's called the prebate. And that basically reimburses people for the cost of basic goods that they buy based on the size of their family, or does it simply pay them back the national sales tax that they would pay on food and medicine? How does it work? I've forgotten. I read both books, but it's been a while.
Okay, real quickly, it is based on the size of the family. It's filed through the Social Security office, and it reimburses the essential services based on poverty level. And that eliminates your, you know, that will compensate you for the taxes on electricity, food, clothing, those type of things, up to the poverty level. And it doesn't matter how much money you make. If you make $10 a year or $10 million a year, you would still get the same amount in that prebate check. All you have to do is sign up for it.
It sounds pretty egalitarian to me. Mr. Gates, may I ask you and invite you to call into my show on this same network on Wednesday night? Radio Free America is at 6 o'clock Central, and I would like to speak with you on the air about this some more, because I want my listeners to learn about the fair tax from an expert.
I will be happy to do that Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. I look forward to speaking to you then. Have a great day, sir. Thank you for calling.
Can you give me a phone number and a name of the show?
Yes, it is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org, and the phone number is the same as this, 718-305-7176. Starting at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, it's 2 hours like this one. Thank you so much for calling in, sir, and I look forward to speaking to you again. And for everyone listening, sorry that Robert had some phone problems there. But we are going to just continue to do the best that we can. Thanks for listening to this edition of the New Wives Conservatism Radio Show on conservativenationradio.org. And Robert will speak with you next Saturday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
God bless America. Thank you, Duke, for filling in when my phone went dead, and have a great week. Bye, everyone.